It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Sure glad that you've joined us today. It's a wonderful study. We're in the book of Exodus. We're at Exodus chapter 19. We're in the 10th verse, and we're going to begin reading there. Exodus 19:10. We're going to read to the end of the chapter. I'm glad that you've joined us today. Please that you will enjoy the study as we continue to look through this wonderful book and learn God's way and will. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. Hope that was enough time for you now to open your Bibles and begin the study today, that we may look at God's precious Word and enjoy it as we come together. Please now, Exodus 19, verse 10. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow. Let them wash their clothes. Be ready against the third day, for the third day the Lord will come down to the in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai, and thou shalt set bounds upon the people round about, saying, Take heed to yourselves that ye go not up unto the mount, or touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall surely be put to death. There shall not be a hand touch it, but ye shall surely be stoned or shot through, whether it be beast or man. It shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount. And Moses went down from the mountain to the people, and sanctified the people. And they washed their clothes, and said unto the people, Be ready against the third day, come not at your wives. And it came to pass on the third day, in the morning, that there were thunders and lightnings, and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the neither side of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And the smoke thereof ascended in the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed long, louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. And the Lord said unto Moses, Come, go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto the mount to gaze, and many of them perish. And let the priests also which come near to the Lord sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth unto them. And Moses said unto the Lord, The people cannot come up to the mount of Sinai, for thou chargest us, saying, Set bounds about the mount, and sanctify it. And the Lord said unto him, Away, get thee down, and thou shalt come up, and thou and Aaron with thee. But let not the priests and the people speak through to come up unto the Lord, lest he break forth upon them. So Moses went down unto the people, and spake unto them. Let's begin with prayer now after we've read the precious word. Father, I thank you today that we can come together and have this opportunity. It is a wonderful opportunity that you give us to come together and hear from you. Please, as we look back at something that was recorded some 3,500 years ago, or was accomplished 3,500 years ago, and yet it is as important and applies to us today in many, many ways. So please today show us your way and will as we enjoy this study. I ask, dear Lord, that you'll touch the hearts of the lost, that they will come to trust in you today, dear Lord. Not in man, not in this world, but in you. Recognizing they're a sinner, they're lost, they're dying in their trespasses and sins. Actually, dear Lord, we know they're dead in their trespasses and sins. They need to come today, and they need to trust in you that life may come to them, and they may begin truly to live, even though they're breathing and functioning in this world. They're really not living, and life can't be theirs until they know you as their Savior. So please, today that begin, and then that is just a wonderful beginning, and then we're growing in you each day that we live. So please, guide and lead us now, dear Lord, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have a wonderful study here. We're going to look at several things. You know, we've looked at the deliverance of the Lord, how that He has brought them. We've talked last time we were together a little bit concerning the law and what it's going to mean to them. They're coming from grace to the law. We are back in the time of grace right now. What a wonderful time we have. We will probably be reviewing that a little bit later, and probably even not today, as we look at these things. We have many things to cover and to look at, but I want you to back up just a little bit with me, because he speaks of these people, the nation of Israel, in quite a way, and I want to explain that way just a little bit. Back at the fifth verse, he speaks of how he's delivered them out of Egypt on eagle's wings. What a wonderful, beautiful example that gives us in the 19th chapter there, the fifth verse. It says, "Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me over all people, for all the earth is mine." What a statement. All the earth is mine. Every kingdom, every land, every people is mine. I possess them. I have chosen you as a special people. And what an opportunity this is to make them. His desire was to make the whole nation a kingdom of priests, a group that would be closer to God than any other people in the world. That's what the nation of Israel, they were chosen to be God's representatives, to be God's preachers, to bring the world unto Him. That's what they were chosen to do. What a wonderful opportunity. They had no idea what their call was, how they were to be. You know, as a preacher of the gospel, I take this job, this responsibility is very serious, because it is such a serious work to proclaim God's word truthfully, that you may hear it with all truth and not with my little spin to it. You know, you'll hear from time to time, and quite often I'll give a little story or give an example. And so please, I ask that it always be correct and truthful, and that the Spirit of God will guide you to see that truth. And if you see me to the left or to the right, please pray for me that I will come back to God's Word, to right where He wants me to be. This chosen people here, God called them a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. So I want you to see that. And you know, as a believer in Jesus Christ, if you know Jesus as your Savior, we have become a royal priesthood. And so that this group of Israelites, this nation, which was somewhere between 1.5 million to up to 3 million people, that were called to be all at the time, were called to be priests. They were to be representatives of God's Word. What a wonderful choosing these people have. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 6, He hath made us kings or kingdoms, kingdom priests unto God and His Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. He has made us. He made the nation of Israel this kingdom of priests. Now, later on, He will speak to only the Levites. He will speak through Moses and Joshua and those, speak through the prophets. But the people, the nation of Israel, there'll be one tribe chosen out to represent them before God, and that's the tribe of Levites, with the family of Aaron being the head. God never intended that originally. I believe he intended for all to be priests, because that's he called all people. And please, that you see that today. I don't want you to miss that. And if you would go with me back to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Royal priesthood, a peculiar people, a peculiar treasure is what he calls the nation of Israel here. And so I want you to see that ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, a holy and holy nation. This is the calling he has given. He has moved this people above any other people. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And so we come to the seventh verse, and Moses came and called to the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. Now I'm going to stop there with the eighth verse just for a minute, because I want you to see that they were agreeing with something very quickly. They agreed with voice. They agreed with their mind. They needed to use their heart. And many times we do the same thing when someone calls you to service or calls you for something. Yes, I'll do that. But then when it comes right to it, you never do it. It never comes to pass because your heart wasn't in it. Your mind said yes. Your mouth even said yes, but your heart wasn't in it. We're going to find the same thing here. The people's heart were not in it. Their mouth said yes. They was taken by the time, you know, with all the things that were going on and all they were seeing. And yes, whatever the Lord says, we'll do. But when it came down to it, that wasn't the case because it was a heart problem. Same situation today. It's a heart problem with the people of God. And the ninth verse here said, and the Lord said unto Moses, lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. Now, we're going back just a minute there to take a look and see what is said there in that ninth verse, because it is so important. The Lord said to Moses, lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud. And so he is going to come in his glory. It is something here upon Sinai that God was going to come down not only in the sight of Moses, but in the sight of all the people. Though they would just see the cloud. You see, they don't see God. If they would have seen God, they would have died. And when they're called to come to the mount, they're actually called just to come to the feet of God. To come to the feet of the incarnate Christ. The time that Jesus, before he came and took on the body of a man, they were called to come to his feet. And though they would just see the cloud, his glory would be so evident that no man would question that this was some hoax or something that somebody had tricked somebody with. There would be no question that they were hearing from God. No question. And not only just with the nation of Israel, but this Mount Sinai is so tall and so big, and this cloud was so mighty and so overwhelming that even the nations and the lands around would see and would know that God is speaking to his people and that this is God. There was no question about it. No question at all. And you know, when the Lord Jesus Christ was baptized, there was no question that the Spirit of God came and come upon the Lord Jesus Christ in power and strength. And there was no question. by what was done, whatever it was. It says a dove descended, you know, like a dove. Now, that we can't really see. The only problem was there was no other way to give an explanation of what had happened. And the same during the time of the birth of the church, and the Holy Spirit came down into every believer, up on and into the apostles first, empowered them to preach the word with such strength. There was no question that they were called of God and they were empowered of God by the scene that they looked upon. It looked upon a fire of a cloven tongue, the scripture says there, as we look in Acts, and the other was back in Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, concerning the baptism of the Lord Jesus, and this you'll find in Acts chapter 2, verse 3, concerning what was seen at the birth of the church at Pentecost. You know, we look, and the people here were called to come to hear from God. And again, the Lord said unto Moses, Lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak to thee. You see, God didn't speak to the people. God spoke to Moses, but he told Moses so that they will know that what you're saying is from me, and that they will believe thee forever. I am going to speak to you, but they will all hear. So that's what we have in that ninth verse. The Lord said unto Moses, Go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and be ready against the third day. Sanctify the people. He is giving them 2 days to get ready to meet with God. He's getting them 2 days to come and hear from God. Now, during that time, and I want you to think about this, because this is a serious problem today in the church. When you come to church, you come to Bible study. Have you ever come prepared? I'm sure some of you do, but I'm sure the majority of the folks that are listening today, when you come to church, have you spent time with the Lord? And there's some things that you need to do that I need to do prior to coming into the house of God, whether I'm doing the preaching or I'm doing the teaching or I'm just coming to listen. Just coming to listen, because that's exactly what the people here were going to do. They were coming to listen to the Word of God. Now, we need to come prepared. And here it says, sanctify the people, call them away from their world. Call them away from the business of the day. Call them away from social activities. Call them away from everything. Call them to meditate. Call them to pray. Call them to be ready to hear the law of God. That is what they were called to do. And it said there in the 10th verse, sanctify them today and tomorrow. So he's telling Moses to tell the people how to prepare themselves to stand before God to listen to His words. Oh, if today, how many times do you come sliding into church? You may be 10 minutes late, you may be 5 minutes early, but either way, when you come, have you spent time with the Lord? You come, you sit, you listen to the preaching, you sing the songs, and how many times have you left the church and says, you know, I wonder why I come. I don't get anything from that preacher. I don't get anything from that Sunday school teacher. Well, it may be the teacher's fault. It may be the preacher's fault. But it may be yours. Because when you come in, sitting down, and you have not prepared your heart to be with God and with God's people, you're not going to learn anything. You wonder why you're not growing. You wonder why you're not changing. It's because you're probably having slow. You're thinking more about what you're going to do on Sunday afternoon or what you're going to do the next day following Wednesday night Bible study or maybe the Sunday night Bible study. You come, and you know, we come today thinking that we are the ones that have something to say. Will you please come and listen? Not listen to me, listen to the Word of God. These people were called to spend time, not one day, but 2 days, in preparing their hearts to meet, to hear the words of God as they were spoken to Moses. They weren't to be spoken to the people. They were to hear it, but it was to be spoken to Moses. Call them to be ready. And the 11th verse says, and be ready. Be ready that third day. Oh, that we could call our people today to be ready. And that's not just to be in the house of God, to not just come here on Sunday night and Wednesday night, but to be ready for His coming. And to be ready for His coming is more than just looking up, waiting for Him to return. To be ready for His coming, your life better be in order. We need to be busy every day, praising Him, honoring Him in our work, in our play, in everything that we do. We should be praising Him and honoring, and we should be doing it unto the Lord. Because if we're not doing it unto the Lord, for the Lord, we'll find that there are going to be nothing that we can lay at the feet of the Lord Jesus when we get there. It's going to be a sad day, I'm afraid, for most believers, because they're not going to have anything. We're not ready. We're not ready. God called through Moses to tell the people to get ready. Be ready. Our thoughts must be on the Lord, not upon the world. And you know, we come and you just kind of wonder, you know, your mind gets to wondering. Well, you're sure not set upon hearing the Word of God when that happens. And it may be because the preacher's boring, but it may be because your heart is so busy with the world that you have not set your eyes upon. You don't come ready. Look at the 10th verse again. Sanctify. And tomorrow let them wash their clothes. The Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow. Let them wash their clothes. Wash their clothes. You know, I've been condemned before for saying that you need to come into the house of God wearing your best. And I make the statement that I'm never coming to Bible study or to the Sunday service that I don't have a nice shirt and tie on, and majority of the time I have a suit on, because I come to praise and honor my God. I don't come to show something to somebody else. I come to honor and praise God, and I come with my best. I come with my clothes clean. And he comes here, and Moses has ordered the people by the Word of God, say, wash their clothes. Wash their clothes. You know, they came out of Egypt, and they came out of Egypt filthy. They have in their mind and in their hearts all the works of Egypt, all the idols they worshipped, all the things that they did. They have in their mind, in their heart. And that needs to be cleansed. Now, by washing your clothes sure doesn't clean those things. But while you're washing your clothes, and while you're preparing these 2 days, I want you to think on your sin. I want you to think on who you are and what you need. And oh, today, that's the reason that in today's society that we have to be so busy with the things of the world. We have to keep our children so active. You know, there was a time that on Wednesday night the schools would close at 6 o'clock because it was church night. It was time to be in the house of God. In order for you to be there on time at 7, the schools closed. They closed the doors at 6 o'clock. I remember when that changed and they started opening the doors on Wednesday night. I remember the day that we couldn't call it church night. Legally, we couldn't say church night. Oh, God forbid that we would be godly. And we had to call it family night. And then it wasn't long that they wanted the gym and everything open, the gyms and things open on Sunday. We've got to have something for our children to do. God forbid that they would be quiet and sit and listen and learn what God has to say. God forbid. And it's not the children's fault, it's the parents' fault. That's the problem. You wonder why the children today, in many cases, are very ungodly? You wonder why the drugs and the alcohol and the sex and everything just continues to multiply? It's because we have taken God out of our lives. We've been so afraid of the state and so afraid of government and this fear of controversy between church and state. God never intended us to be separated in the manner we are. Neither did this land and the leaders of this land, the forefathers of this land, had no intention of doing what they have distorted today. The old devil's been very successful about what he's doing. Keep us busy. Keep us occupied. Always doing something. Always playing a video game. Always doing something. Constantly. Always having a radio on. Got to hear. Got to have sound. Oh, I listen to good Christian music. Shut it off. Just shut it off. Be still. You might hear from God. And I'm talking to you believers. I'm not talking to the world. That's the world's life. That's the world's God. I understand why they want it. I don't understand why you want it. Shut it off. Listen, God will speak to you. Search His Word. 2 days they prepared. They were told to wash their clothes. Be thinking all the time while you're washing your clothes. And you put these clean clothes on, and you're preparing to come before God. When you're doing that, then you be thinking about your heart. Your heart should be clean. Why do I talk to people about wearing your best? Because if you wear your old scrubby clothes and you come running in there the last minute to church, I can tell you immediately the condition of your heart. I'm not judging you. That's just the way it is. I can tell the shape of your heart because you didn't even take time to get ready to come to church. So what condition's your heart in? I can tell the shape of your heart by the clothes you're wearing. Now, if your clothes are old and your clothes are torn, but they're clean and that's the best you've got, then, my dear friend, you be here and you don't have to have no tie on. You don't have to have no suit on. But you come. You come in the best and you come with your heart prepared. Now, the people have had trouble with me saying you got to have a tie. Then I'm telling you, it's not a problem with you wearing a tie coming into this church. The problem is your heart. That's the problem. God said to these people, you clean your clothes. In that process, He's saying, you take time, clean your heart, and you come prepared. Oh, what a day. We need to clean up. We do clean up many times before men, but we sure don't seem to mind coming dirty before God, do we? We sure don't mind that. You know, this time just gets away from us so quickly. And we're going to begin this next time with the 11th verse, and it says, and be ready against that third day. Be ready. The Lord will come down in the sight of the people upon Mount Sinai. Be ready. Oh, my friend, this morning, I don't know what time that you go to have church. I don't know what Bible studies you have through the week. Please, please, will you come ready? Will you come with a prepared heart? Spend time. Get up early on Sunday morning. Spend time on Sunday afternoon. Spend time on Wednesday in God's word, in prayer to him, God, please empower me. Show me your strength. Show me your power. My dear friend, come to Jesus today. What are you going to do about Jesus?